Amplify, Creatives of Color Podcast Network.
Well, hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Pearls of Blackness, Pearls of Wisdom Through the Lens of Black Culture. And I am none other than your official pearl bearer, Caritza Mosley Jones. And this is March. March 2021. And March is a special month for me for a couple of reasons. I have some very important people that were born in the month of March. My mom is born in the month of March. Her birthday is March the 15th. My grandma is born in the month of March. Her birthday is March 31st, and she will be 91 years old this year. So we thank God for my grandma. And I have some friends that are born in March. But most importantly, March is an important month for me because it's Women's History Month and I'm a woman. And it's also Social Work Month, and I am a proud social worker. I am a proud master's level social worker. And so this episode of Pearls of Blackness, we're going to talk about women's history, and we're going to talk about social work. And we're going to talk about that in a very special way. So this episode is dedicated to one of my favorite, all-time favorite sheroes, right? Her name is Dorothy Irene Hite. Dorothy Hite. I'm going to say her name one more time. Dorothy Hite. If you know anything about Black history, if you know anything about women's history, if you know anything about the civil rights movement, then you have heard of Dorothy Irene Hite. So that's just a little piece before I go on, but I want to let you know that this episode is dedicated to her. She is one of my all-time favorite sheroes. And so I said, of course, we're paying homage to my profession as a social worker and to Women's History Month. And who better to dedicate an episode to about those two topics than Dorothy Irene Hite? She was a social worker. And when we talk about a strong advocate in the women's rights movement and in civil rights for not only Black people, but Black women and women in general, who else should you talk about other than Dorothy Hite? So let's go back to this. Social Work Month is recognized every year by the National Association for Social Workers. And it pays homage to the profession of social work and the history of social work and what social workers have done and are doing to change lives. Point blank. And period, poo, as the kids say. So Social Work Month always has a theme. So Social Work Month 2021, the theme that NASW has chosen is social workers are essential. And you better know we are essential. Anything and everything that goes on in the day-to-day life to support people, there is a social worker somewhere aiding in that effort. We are essential. We are essential to the community well-being. As practitioners, social workers, we are trained to help people address their personal and systemic barriers to optimal living, right? And that came directly from the NASW site. But that's what we're trying to do. We are trained to help people overcome any barrier, be it personal, systemic, that is affecting their well-being in life, right? And so we're employed in various professions and realms of work, but we are employed to affect positive change, not negative change, but positive change at the micro and macro levels. So individuals, families, groups, and the entire community. So we learned this early in the professional social work. You learn this in your training. There's a micro, a meso, and a macro level to the populations and the work that we do. And so that's what we do. So I want to encourage you all that during this month of March, if you know of a social worker, if there has been a social worker that has impacted your life via a service or an agency or a school, if your family member is a social worker, a friend is a social worker, tip your hat off to them. Say happy Social Worker Month. We often don't get recognized for the hard work that we do, but it is very important work. It's very important work. And I hear people sometimes say, oh, she's just a social worker. And we're never just a social worker. Social workers are so many things. We are brokers. We are advocates. We are resource providers. We are empowers to people. We do a lot of things. So we're not just social workers, but we are life-changing professionals. And so I want to take the time to encourage you to learn more about the social work profession, to learn about the positive contributions to the profession, and to learn more about what that looks like for you and how social workers have affected your life. So I want to share a quote from Dorothy Height. And what did I do with my notes? Hold on. Y'all know I always have a lot going on over here, but I want to share a quote with you from Dorothy Height. And one of the quotes that she said that was really profound to me, it talks about one of the quotes that's really profound to me that she always says is that we have to improve life, not for those who have the most skills and those who know how to manipulate the system, but also for and with those who often have so much to give, but never get the opportunity. That spoke to my spirit when I heard that a long time ago. It really resonated with me. She also has another quote that says, without community service, we would not have a strong quality of life. Dorothy Height lived a life of service. She lived a life of service. And I want to share a little bit about Dorothy Height with you, right? So Dorothy Irene Height was 98 years old when she passed away from here, from this earthly realm. But she was a leader in addressing the rights of both women and African Americans as the president of the National Council of Negro Women. She was a tireless activist. She worked as a social worker, like I said. So she was a social worker. She had a bachelor's degree in education. She got a master's degree in psychology, and she worked for many years as a social worker. And then she joined the staff of the Harlem YWCA in 1937. And there she talks about in her memoir, and I've read her memoir, I have that, but she talked about in her memoir how she had a life-changing encounter not long after starting there when she met an educator and founder of the National Council of Negro Women, which is Mary McLeod Bethune, another powerful woman in Black history and women's history. And also the U.S. First Lady, during that time, Eleanor Roosevelt, another powerful woman in women's history. They came to visit her facility, and she talked about how their influence on her when they came to visit her YWCA location, how that impacted her beginnings of volunteering with the National Coalition for Negro Women, and how she became very close with Mary McLeod Bethune. If a lot of you may not know this, but in 1957, she became the president of the National Council of Negro Women. She, in 1963, was one of the organizers of the famed March on Washington, and she stood and walked very close to Dr. King when he delivered his I Have a Dream speech. So she was very instrumental, always working in the background for things. Dorothy Height also... another tidbit I want to share with you. She was the 10th national president for Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. So Dorothy Height is my soror. I was blessed, and I will say blessed, with an amazing opportunity to meet Sora Height. And in the summer of 2002, at our national convention for Delta Sigma Theta in Atlanta, Georgia, I went to a session that she led, where she spoke and talked to us about leadership. And after that session was over, I was able to actually meet who I call Sora Height, but Dorothy Irene And that was the highlight of that convention for me, because like I said, I had known and had been educated on Dorothy Height and her achievements prior to me ever becoming a Delta. But knowing that she was a Delta was even an even bigger influence for me. So being able to meet Sora Height was, oh my God, I just can't even explain to this day how exciting that was and how honored and humbled I was to be able to meet her. And I have a picture and it's actually out on my social media, on my Facebook page and on my Instagram page, where she and I took a selfie. I have a picture of Sora Height with a selfie. And I treasure that photo. I treasure it because she is everything I could ever strive to be. And as a social worker, she set standards and she's been an example. And as a woman, she has done the same, right? And so Dorothy Height is an amazing and was an amazing woman. And I think that people should research her. If you don't know a lot about Dorothy Height, research about her. Research about the women's rights that she advocated for. She was what they call the godmother of the women's movement because of her work for gender equality, right? We always talk about these glass ceilings as women that we always continue to strive to work towards breaking or exceeding. Well, Dorothy Height was instrumental in that beginning that movement for us in the works that she did and the movement that she was a major part of for gender equality. I talked about her being the leader for the National Council of Negro Women. She led that organization for four decades. That's a lot of commitment to that type of work. Four decades. And she received the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 1994. Just an amazing woman. And one quick tidbit I want to say too, March is deeply connected to Sora Height, Dorothy Height, because her birthday is in March. So her birthday is March the 24th. Another great reason to talk about her this month, as it is Women's History Month. But this is her month of birth. This is when she became a great gift to us as a country. And so we want to her for her work, even in the midst of her not being in here, to hear us honor her. I still want to pay homage to her because she has done so much. Credited as the first leader, like I said, in working towards recognizing inequality for women and for African Americans as problems that should be considered as a whole. Yeah, a Black woman leading that movement. And so she deserves to be recognized for that impact that she has made on our lives. And I want to talk a little bit about how I just believe in my heart of hearts, her being a social worker and her being an advocate played directly into that work. Like, that's what we do. That's what social workers do. We are advocates in what we do. A lot of you all know I talk a lot about being elected to the school board. So I sit on the school board, and I don't like to say that I am a politician. I don't like to say that term at all because I am not a politician. When you look at the definition of a politician, I don't meet that. I like to say that I'm a public servant. I am an elected official, but most importantly, I am an advocate for children. I am a woman. I am a Black woman in a Southern mid-sized city, sitting on a board where I'm the only person of African American descent. And I am an advocate for children. Is it hard? Yes, it is. What makes it easy? Knowing that I walk and I walk in the footsteps that were paved for me by women such as Dorothy Height, by women such as Shirley Chisholm, by women such as Barbara Jordan, by women such as Marsha Fudge or Maxine Waters, or even now our fabulous Madam Vice President Kamala Harris. I walk in their path that they have paid for me, and I stand on their shoulders, and that makes it easy because I want to be that example for another young lady or another woman to do what I'm doing as I'm following in their footsteps as well, right? Those are things that we have to continue to do as women. Those are things that we have to continue to do as Black women and women of color. We cannot forget those who have walked before us and paved the way. We just cannot forget to do that. And I talked to you all and told you earlier that she, Dorothy Height, did her work was dedicated to the problems of equality for women and equality for African Americans as a whole, and how she merged issues, those two issues. They have been historically separate, but they shouldn't be. They're one and the same. They shouldn't be. And so her focus was on the political mobilization that was vital for African-American women who were not able to engage in politics at a level equivalent or equitable to their white counterparts. I'm going to say that again. Her focus was on political mobilization that was vital for African-American women who were not able to engage in politics at a level that was equitable to their white counterparts. Once again, her work resonates in everything that I do, because I know that she, along with other women working alongside her, they were paving the way for me. And I know I didn't mention this before, but I want to go back and say this. The Women's History Month theme is about suffrage, women's suffrage, right? And we know what that looks like as it relates to the women's suffrage work and movement. It's a continuation of the theme from last year. But once again, talking about Dorothy Height, talking about Shirley Chisholm, talking about Delta Sigma Theta and other organizations during that time that were leading the work in women's suffrage and in leading the work for women to have the right to vote and for women to have a place in the political arena and for women to have a voice in advocacy and making sure that our rights were being respected and that the rights of people being disenfranchised and marginalized were being respected and acknowledged, and that there was work being put forth to change those inequities and that marginalization. Dorothy Height, that's all I can say. And it's just, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. And oftentimes I sit in seats and I sit at tables where I'm the only one that's there, I think often about Shirley Chisholm, who talks about when people, she has a famous quote that a lot of people quote, and it says, when they don't offer you a seat at the table, bring your own chair. That's kind of my interpretation of that. But you all know the quote. I think about my role and what I'm doing, and so many women like myself, and so many women that have went before me, I think about that, because guess what? Oftentimes we do have to bring our own seats to the table. And I don't mind bringing my own chair, because guess what? When I bring my own chair, it makes it a little more comfortable for me, right? It makes it a little more comfortable. But what I know is that women like never before are leading in government, they're leading at the executive levels and corporate levels. They're leading in the fields of education. They're leading in the fields of engineering and STEM work. I know that this is our time. And Shirley Chisholm has a quote that says, at present, and this is profound, right? Because Shirley Chisholm goes back to like the 70s, 60s and 70s, right, with her work, when she became highly exposed to the country. So to hear this quote being said back then, she was way ahead of her time, right? So the quote that she stated is, at present, our country needs women's idealism and determination, perhaps more in politics than anywhere else. Way ahead of her time, right? Way ahead of her time. Because here we are in 2021, we've just elected our first female vice president, and who's also a woman of color. And we have so many women that are elected to seats in the Senate and in Congress and at local levels and at state levels and in municipalities. And like I said, we have so many women that are being hired and appointed to positions of leadership in the corporate arena and the executive arena. She's right. The country, our country needs women's idealism and determination perhaps more, like I said, she said in politics, and I agree with that, than anywhere else. But I also believe that they need us in other arenas. They need us in other arenas. And so that is something that the country may continue to try to make more challenging for us as women, and especially women of color. But it doesn't mean that it's not attainable. It does not mean that it's not attainable. And I always used to think that when President Barack Obama was elected to office, that he was an example to children and people of color and African-American children and African-American men and women, that we could be anything. But now that we have Vice President Harris in office, I don't think there's a little girl anywhere in the world that doesn't feel like she can't lead or be anything that she aspires to be. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that example. And I'm thankful for individuals like Shirley Chisholm and Dorothy Height. And I keep saying all these other women that have paved the way for us and allowed us the opportunity. We stand on some very big shoulders, and it is our duty to make them proud, to make them proud in the heavens for the work that they did. And I aspire to be, just as Shirley Chisholm stated, to be unbought and unbossed. I aspire to be a catalyst for change. She has a quote where she says, "I am and always will be a catalyst for change." And I have that actually hanging on the wall in my office on a post-it. I have a lot of affirmations in my office that talk about, that encourage me and talk about things that are encouragement to me as I go about my life journey. And that is one of them, that I am and always will be a catalyst for change. That is one of my goals in life. That is something that I desire to do. And so I want to leave that pearl with you. Add that to your strand of pearls. Desire to be the change that you seek. Don't wait for someone else to be that change for you. Desire to be that change that you seek for yourself. And don't let the ignorance or degradation or the political woes of our country deter you from that. Okay. Don't do that. I know I'm giving you another quote, a lot of quotes from Shirley, but Shirley Chisholm was profound. Like she said some stuff, right? So I think about this when we're out doing the work and we don't let the things that are going on in our country or in our community deter us from the work that we have set forth to do, that in anything that you're doing, be sure that the work that you're doing and the efforts that you are putting forth, there is something that is something that's going to make progress, not only for the people, not only for your community, but for yourself. But you want to be able to be making progress. Don't do things for selfish reasons. I tell people all the time, I am not a selfish person. I work hard for the people that I represent in the role that I am as a school board member. I work hard for my children. I am passionate about the children and the families and the community that I serve because I want there to be progress for them. I want them to have what they deserve. I want them to have the equitable access to the best education that they can have. And I know that in the words of Shirley, I can't get that done standing on the sidelines. And that's one of the reasons that I ran for office, because I realized instead of talking about it, I had to be about it. And I had to be authentic and genuine in the work that I was setting forth to do, because I cannot make progress standing on the sidelines, whimpering, in the words of Shirley, and complaining. And I always like to say, you know, when people are always complaining and they got something to say, they, you know, that when they're going off or they're clocking out, as the kids say, that they're yoking their necks and grabbing air. Well, yeah, I can be one of those people. I don't want to be one of those people just yoking my neck and grabbing air and complaining on the sidelines or complaining on social media, but not getting the work done. And so I don't want to be one of those that stand on the sidelines. I want to make progress, in the words of Shirley, by implementing ideas and doing the work. And I'm thankful for each and every individual that's out there doing the work and not standing on the sidelines and doing the work with me and alongside me and anyone else like myself that has stepped up to the plate to do the work. And I want to give pause right here and give a shout out to the Black women elected officials here in Hamilton County and in Chattanooga, where I live. I want to pay respect to some elected officials who are no longer in their seats, but started and paved the way for us here as Black women in those seats. And that is State Representative Joanne Favors, the Honorable State Representative Joanne Favors, who also sat in the Hamilton County Commission District 5 seat prior to going to the state. I want to thank her for her service and recognize her for that. Also, Mrs. Deborah Matthews, who is no longer with us here on earth, but for her service on the school board prior to her passing away. I want to give a shout out to my current colleagues here in public service in Hamilton County and in the city of Chattanooga. That is Councilwoman Demetris Coonrod. Ironically, today is the day that Councilwoman Coonrod is vying for her seat to continue her seat here on the Chattanooga City Council. But she was the first Black woman elected to the city council here in Chattanooga. I want to also shout out to my colleague in District 5, but she sits on the Hamilton County Commission, Commissioner Kathleen Jeter. She's another Black woman here elected in office. And so I want to pay homage to her as well. And they are both, Kathleen was a social worker, is a social worker by profession. Councilwoman Coonrod has a degree in sociology. So once again, there's a tie-in to Social Work Month. We are not only doing the work, but we have the background to understand the work in which we have set forth to do. I want to thank them for that. And even though these women are not African-American, I do want to give a shout out to Councilwoman Carol Burrs. She has been working tirelessly in her efforts here in the city of Chattanooga for a while. She's a social worker. She is a social worker. And I want to give a shout out to her because she has been very supportive of me, myself, in my journey here as an elected official and as a woman. And I want to give a shout out to the work that she does to better our community in the city of Chattanooga through the implementation of her baby, the Family Justice Center, under the administration of Mayor Andy Burke. And so I want to give a shout out to her. And back in the day when I was a child, I remember there were elected officials, women. There was Brenda Turner and there was Marilyn Lloyd. I remember them being women elected to office here representing my community and my city. And so I want to recognize them as well. And there's also one other woman elected to the county commission, Commissioner Sabrina Smedley. And then I sit on the school board with some other women. They are Jenny Hill is a school board member, and Tiffany Robinson is a school board member, and Rhonda Thurman is a school board member. And so I want to thank them for their service as well. I'm not going to continue to call names because I know I will forget someone, but I did want to recognize my colleagues on the board that were women in lieu of Women's History Month and their service. And of course, the other individuals that I named. Now is the time for women. I personally believe that there's never been a time that was not for a woman to be in service and to be making a difference. I believe that girls rule the world. Beyonce said it. Who runs the world? Girls. Girls run the world. Women are the core of the family, right? Women are what makes a house a home. That's what happens. We as women are amazing individuals. We are change makers. We do amazing things. And yeah, so I'm a girl and I'm all about girl power. I believe that women rule the world. We run the world. We are the change agents that we need to be and that the world needs us to be to make the difference. And so I just want to point that out because oftentimes I know that we give our sales pats on the back, and we talk a lot about what we do as women. But I want to shine a light on us because we talk about history, but there's honestly, I feel like no history without her stories, right? Their stories, women's stories. We are the change that the country needs. I want to empower the women that are listening to my podcast today. If you have goals that you want to set forth, but you're really not sure how to do them, or you just feel like you need major support, think about your circle. Think about the friends that are in your circle, the family that's in your circle, and make sure that you're aligning yourself with women who want to do more, be more, and earn more. I'm going to say that again. Make sure that your circle is aligned with women who want to be more, do more, and earn more. Earn more. That's important. That's important. Because your circle, I feel like, is supposed to help you grow. Not break you down or tear you down. Your circle of friends and women in your circle should be there to help you grow. And they're supposed to be proud of you and not jealous of you. So if you're in a circle where everybody doesn't have a growth mindset and they're trying to tear you down, or there may be some jealousy there, you may want to rethink that. Because girls ruling the world and women running the world need to be around people who want you to be more and do more. Bottom line. Another thing I want to point out is that oftentimes when we're in seats of leadership as women, there may be some obstinance to that, right? Don't worry about the obstinance. Keep your eyes focused on the goal and your eyes focused on the prize for which you're striving to attain and the community in which you're serving, or the purpose or program that you're serving. Don't be deterred by the obstinates or those that are trying to make you feel like you're less than because you're a woman. Nope. We got too many shoulders that we're standing on that tells you that you're not. You are more than enough and you are more than capable. More than enough and more than capable. I'm going to say that one more time. We as women are more than enough and we are more than capable. And so as we continue to journey through the month of March, I want you to think about the women who have paved the way for us, the women that have influenced you and told you to do more and be more, the women on whose shoulders we stand. And I talked a lot about famous people or people that are well renowned and known. But I want to give a special shout out to the women who I feel like in my life have been change makers, were the first examples of being community service oriented, or being those that, that were influential in my life and that were change makers for me. And so that's my mom, my grandmothers. I talk about, speaking of women's history, my grandmother, she's deceased. My paternal grandmother, her name was Eloise Suttle Mosley, but she was the first Black cafeteria manager at James A. Henry Elementary School in the West Side. That's history. I have an aunt who's not my aunt by blood, but she might as well be, but she was my auntie's best friend. So I have an auntie who is deceased, my dad's sister. Her name is Ermel Mosley Reed. She was an educator here in the city of Chattanooga for 30 plus years. And she has a best friend who's still with us, my Aunt Hayes. I call her Aunt Hayes, but her name is Hazel Elizabeth Robinson Bowles. She was one of the first Black teachers to integrate Dellwood Middle School here in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Shout out to my Aunt Hayes. She's still with us. She's still a diva. If y'all ever saw my Aunt Hayes, I mean, she's amazing. I have another aunt that's technically not my biological aunt, but she's an auntie of mine and one of my auntie's best friends as well, Ruby Key. I have an amazing village of people. My aunt my mom's sister, my mom. I talk about my first lady, Angela Jordan. I think of so many women that have been influential in my life that are history makers in themselves. They all carry a little piece of history with them. I think about my grandma. I talked about her birthday, the 91-year-old, soon to be 91-year-old, my grandmother, Daisy Ford. She's my maternal grandmother. But my grandma, to me, is history because she, like a lot of other women, she was married young. She had children young. She wasn't able to complete her education right at that time. But she later went back to school when her children were still in school. She became an LPN nurse, a licensed practical nurse back in the 60s when that wasn't the most popular thing for a Black woman to be doing. She had worked as a domestic worker and then went back to school, decided that she wanted to become a nurse, and she became an LPN. To me, that's history. That's history for my family because she was one of the few Black nurses at that time in her class. We have the picture, and my grandma is probably, if I can remember correctly, she's one of maybe two African-Americans in that picture. To me, she is history. And so I want to share that with you all. I try to tell people all the time, we look outside of our family, outside of our circles a lot for sheroes and heroes and history makers, but we oftentimes have them right there in our midst. And so I want to salute the women in my family as well. Now, I know I've done a lot of talking. I've talked about a lot of things, but I'm not going to hold you any longer. I'm going to let you go on with your day. If you are a woman listening to this podcast, if you are a Black woman listening to this podcast, I want to remind you that you have so much power within yourself, and that we have to be able to continue to break glass ceilings, just as our beautiful VP has done most recently in becoming the first female vice president. And I want you all to remember that women rule the world. Women rule the world. There's nothing that we cannot do. There is nothing, that we cannot be. And in the words of Dorothy Irene Hite, greatness is not measured by what a man or woman accomplishes. It's measured by the opposition he or she has to overcome to reach his goals. I want to leave you with that. Remember, the greatness in you is not measured by what you as a woman or a man accomplishes. The greatness in you is measured by the opposition that you had to overcome to reach your goals. Woman, be empowered. Women, be empowered. We rule the world. Until next time, I'm your official pearl bearer, Carissa Mosley Jones, and this has been the Women's History and Social Work episode of Pearls of Blackness, Pearls of Wisdom Through the Lens of Black Culture. See you next time, pearl wearers.
Amplify is a podcast network made up of people of color and operating out of Chattanooga, Tennessee. Amplify is a project of Rise Chattanooga, a minority-based cultural arts nonprofit organization focused on community education, performance, and arts and cultural preservation. You can find all of the podcasts on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and risecha.org. Thank you so much for listening.